Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Hi, this is Pat Iyer with Legal Nurse Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about an area that generates a lot of litigation, which is long-term care nursing. And I brought with me on the show Nina Ladding, who is a registered nurse. She's a legal nurse consultant. She's a long-term care expert. She has over three decades of experience working with patients, taking care of patients, through some of the most critical portions of their lives. Nina's background encompasses critical care, home health care, and currently she is working in long-term care as a surveyor. She is a person that I've been working with in my LNC Academy, and we've been talking about building her legal nurse consulting business. She's working in this field, looking at medical records on a daily basis, going into nursing homes and determining whether the facilities are in compliance with the regulations. Nina, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Pat. I appreciate your invitation.
I asked Nina to come on the show specifically to talk about the big changes that have occurred recently in long-term care regulation. Can you give us a broad overview of what has changed?
Well, I can tell you that it's CMS, which is the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, that is responsible for the regulations for long-term care. And it's been about 20 years since they've made really any kind of major changes in the regulations for long-term care. But this is even bigger than usual, because not only have there been revisions and additions to the regulations, but there's also been a change in the actual process of what the surveyors do during their annual surveys at the facilities. So it's really been a long-term process that they've been going through. All the surveyors all over the U.S. have been in training for several months, and as of November 28th of 2017, phase two, which is the biggest phase of the changes, has been in place. So since beginning that date, all of the surveys have been under the new federal regulations.
And can you tell us what's the rationale behind making those changes? Because this sounds like a really big undertaking in terms especially of preparing the surveyors to go through these changes and letting the facilities know about the changes. So what caused this?
Well, as I said, it's been a long time. It's been at least a couple of decades. And the federal process up until November was done in two different ways, meaning that in some states there was a paper process, meaning the surveyors wrote their notes on paper and they turned in a big paper packet, and then that was called the traditional survey process. And then there were some states where the surveyors used a computer process, where they carried a small laptop or computer around with them and entered the information that they had, from their observations, their interviews and record reviews into the computer process, and that was called QIS. And so both of those processes had pros and cons, and so CMS decided that it would be a good idea to take the best from both of the processes and combine them into one, and in addition to the fact that there was a need for changes in some of the regulations and even adding some regulations simply due to the way care is provided nowadays. And so that's where we ended up as of November 28th with lots of changes. And not only did CMS have to educate the surveyors, but CMS also has to educate the facilities, the providers, so that they know what the changes are and what they can expect, and then how they, what they need to do to be in compliance with the changes in the regulations and in the process.
So as of the time of this recording, the system is in place now. What kind of reactions have you seen among the surveyors or among the facilities in terms of adjusting to these changes?
Well, just like when there's a change in anything in life, there's a variety of responses. Some of the surveyors, as well as some of the facilities, are excited because there's something new. Some of them are a little nervous because they don't want to miss anything. But everyone, whether they're the surveyor or the facility side, wants to do the best that they can do. Everybody wants to be up to date and up to speed. But I think we all know that it's that we will be very careful on both sides in what we're doing, because the main goal is to make sure that the care that's provided to the residents is patient-centered care, that it's safe, and it's according to regulation.
Well, you mentioned regulations. For somebody who is not involved in long-term care, can you give us an overview of this, the tagging system? That legal nurse consultants may have heard about F tags with a letter F as in Frank. Tell us, what does that mean?
Well, the letter F, I would imagine, means federal, since these are all federal regulations. Each one of the states also has their own regulations for licensure. The federal regulations are for certification, and by certification, I mean certification to receive funds from Medicare and Medicaid for the care of the residents. So the old set of regulations started with F-150 and ended with F-524. So the reason that the tags are numbered is for ease of access for whichever side, and even the public. If somebody wants to look up a regulation, the regulation has a number, has an F number or an F tag, and it has a title. So if someone wanted to learn about resident rights, they would know in the old system that they would be looking in the F-150s, 160s, and 170s section. In the new setup of the F tags, they would be looking under F-550 through F-586, because those are the new F tags for resident rights in the new system. As a matter of fact, the numbering system as of November 28, 2017 starts with F-550 and ends with F-949. Mm. And there's lots of changes in the new F tags, and in addition, there are a few F tags that don't go into effect until November of 2019. So that's why maybe you heard me say that we're in phase two right now. The majority of the tags are available as of November 28th, but there are a handful that won't be, take effect until November of 2019.
I know that people who have been involved in nursing home cases can think of some common allegations that come up in this area with a vulnerable population of dehydration and malnutrition and pressure sores and falls and elopements. Can you tell us from the perspective of doing the surveys and what CMS is concerned with, are those the key areas of noncompliance, or are there other areas that really draw your attention?
Areas of noncompliance, I think, Pat, what you might be referring to is a section in the tags. When a person goes to read the tag, the F tag, there is the actual regulation, and then there is investigative guidance. And so that portion of the tag is not the regulation, but it helps to explain the regulation. And in that section is the key areas of noncompliance. And what that means is those are the areas, those are the things that the specific items that if the facility hasn't done those things, then they'll be most likely to be getting a deficiency cited. Let's see. Does that make sense?
It does.
Are you able to follow me?
Are there any...
So...
Go ahead.
So, for example, I was just going to pull one up for you. I'm looking at the F881 tag. That's the new tag for, antibiotic stewardship. And so there's the tag, and then there's the regulation. And then in the investigative guidance, there's the intent of the regulation. There's their definitions. There's guidance. And then down at the bottom, you'll see key elements of noncompliance. And so it lists three things that if the facility failed to do any one or more of those things, then they will most likely be receiving a deficiency. And then just to go back to your original question, you were talking about things such as dehydration, falls, pressure sores. That general area of deficiencies generally came from the old F309 tag. It wouldn't be unusual to find a facility to have an F309 tag. That was a quality of care tag, and it's called to provide necessary care and services to attain the highest practicable well-being, and that also included pressure ulcers and a variety of other areas. And F309, of course, since the new tags are now beginning at F550, is no longer at 309. It is, oh Lord, it's divided into several different tags, and I just wanted to have the numbers for you here, but I'm not able to get that to you just a second. Mm-hmm. So areas such as dementia care, pain, and dialysis, which used to be in the old F309, have their own areas of in the F tags now. For example, dementia residents are now in F744.
You mentioned that there are some new areas of clinical care that are being surveyed, and I think you mentioned, if I understood it correctly, that antibiotic usage and monitoring was one of them. Is that correct?
Yes, there needs to be a policy for that, and then a separate tag in the same area. The facility has to show that they're following that policy and that they are monitoring the use of antibiotics, and there's a long list of things that go into what they should be doing in that specific new tag.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the other areas that are new that are being watched?
Well, there's behavioral health services, and those regulations focus on the residents' behavioral needs, and the surveyors, the regulations, want to see that the residents are cared for and care planned for in a person-centered manner, so that each individual resident, their care plan is focused on them, and then the instructions in their care plan are followed through, that their medications are being monitored, that they're receiving the types of therapy that they should have, and that they're assessed regularly to determine if those therapies and medications and treatments are actually being effective for that resident, if there are any side effects that need to cause the resident to have, you know, maybe need to have some changes in their therapies. And then there's another and new area, and that's called facility assessment. And that's really kind of an overall process that the or observations that the surveyors will be making, and that's to assess the services and supports and resources that the facilities provide to enhance the residents' individualized care. Let's see, there's also some more definition in the advanced beneficiary notices. Advanced beneficiary notices come into play when, let's say, a resident was admitted to a facility to receive, well, let's say some kind of rehab therapy. Maybe they had a fall and they need, you know, they need some rehabs so that they can be strengthened in order to go home. Well, Medicare is generally going to pay for a specific number of days or a specific number of visits or specific time limit for those therapies. And the facility has to notify the resident and or their guardian or their POA, power of attorney, when that time will be up. They can't just go in and say, uh-oh, today's your last day, no more services. So there are rules and regulations about how the facility should notify the resident and or family, and that they're, you know, when the last day will be, and then also advise them and help them to request some additional time, and sometimes that's, you know, Medicare allows that. Let's see. There's also some clarification in the admission, transfer, and discharge F tags. And those focus on the facility-initiated discharge versus the resident-initiated discharge, and also discharge planning. There, in the past, have been some concerns about maybe residents were being discharged by the facility in a hasty manner, without giving the resident notice, a timely notice, and then helping the resident to find another, you know, what their next residence will be, whether it's at another facility or if it's going to home. And so, again, focusing on patient-centered care, CMS is concerned that the facilities are discharging the residents to a safe and healthy location, and it's done in a way that the patient and the family are aware along of every step along the way what's happening with that planned discharge.
Before I continue, I need to share details of online training that directly addresses the setting of this case. Do you want to sharpen your skills in understanding nursing home litigation and liability issues? Are you a legal nurse consultant who has not worked in a nursing home, yet you need to assist attorney with nursing home cases? Are you a nursing home expert witness who wants to broaden your knowledge? I have online training called Hotspots in Nursing Home Litigation. It takes you into the world of nursing homes where documentation requirements, staffing, and regulations are markedly different than hospital ones. Learn from Barbara Johansson. She's an experienced nursing expert witness about the specific regulations that govern nursing home care. You will become familiar with the standard of care and best practices so that you may be better able to evaluate liability, damages, and defenses for three hotspots in nursing home litigation: pressure sores, dehydration and weight loss, and accidents and incidents. You can get this online training at http://lnc.tips/NH litigation. That's all one word. http://lnc.tips/NH litigation. And use the code LISTENED to get a 25% discount. Now let's return to the show. You know, I know there's been some changes in the survey process. I think it would help our listeners if you could explain what happened before these changes went into effect with the survey. I know that there are routine surveys that are done periodically, and there's a whole lot of anxiety associated with when the surveyors are going to come and making sure that everything is in proper condition. And then there are complaint surveys, which our legal nurse consultant audience may encounter in medical records or in cases that a surveyor has gone in response to a family complaint about a situation. If you could give us the overview of whether those two pieces are still in place or what has changed as a result of the new regulations.
Sure, Pat. The annual surveys continue as they have before. They're called annual surveys, even though there is actually a window up to of about 15 months from the previous survey. And so the facilities have an idea when their window is, when their window is for their annual survey. And that's a prime opportunity, in my opinion, as a surveyor, for them to take the information from their quality care assessments and make sure that they have been and are providing patient-centered care, that they've worked to improve and continuously improve areas where they may be deficient or not quite reaching what's required in the regulation, and so that they can get those practices and procedures in place before the surveyors show up, because, of course, we always show up unannounced. And I think it's the unannounced aspect that makes the, that causes the anticipation in the staff. They don't know, you know, it's like when you're expecting company, but you're not sure when they're coming. So you really can't plan anything big. From this surveyor's perspective, I believe that if you're doing the right thing, if you're meaning following the regulations and providing the patient-centered care, making adjustments in the care according to each individual resident all along the way, notifying their family, keeping the physicians notified, keeping the residents safe, watching their nutrition, making sure that they are, you know, that their skin integrity is intact, you know, all those kinds of things all the time, that when the surveyors show up, we really just want to see what the facility is doing every day. So, you know, it's not that you have to change, that they have to change anything when we're there. We just want to see that the residents are being cared for according to the regulations. And so as far as the time frame, there's no change in the annual survey. The process is that now all of the surveyors in all the states will be doing a computerized process. And so we already have some information about the facility in our computers before we arrive, and we get that information from CMS mostly. And some of our residents are pre-chosen by CMS, which previously the surveyors did that in our off-site research before the survey. And basically, at this point, it's just that we're doing, basically, to give you the overview on that, is that we're using a computer and that we have new tags. We have new things to look at, and our guidance gives us maybe a different way to look at that. If we say, for example, if we see a deficiency in one area and we put it into the computer, the computer will say, okay, well, you see that, then you need to look for this, look at this area, because you may have a deficiency at F so-and-so. And so, so there are several prompts that help us to have a very much more global picture on the F tags. As far as complaints go, complaints are at this point. I've recently done some complaints, and at this point, I would have to say there are. You know, the fact that we show up unannounced and that the facility does not know who the complainant is. They might think they know who it is, but we do our best to maintain confidentiality of who the complainant is. And they may not even know for sure who the main resident is that we're looking at, because we don't just look at one resident when there's a complaint. We look at residents in similar circumstances as the main resident. But, of course, we use the same new F tags as there are used in the annuals. And we still work on paper. We don't use a computer process at this time. And that's, as of this taping, of course, anything can change mm-hmm. along those lines.
And do you know what changes are ahead in additional phases of adjusting the system?
Well, I will say that with the caveat of I am the surveyor. And CMS has been making changes all along through this process. But at this point, I can say that the F tags that will go into effect in November of 20 of next year are already listed on the new list of F tags, beginning with F550, and they're in the areas of a lot of it has to do with training, some of it has to do with their quality assurance monitoring, and some of the language regarding licensure, you know, those folks who can write you know, orders, meaning PAs and NPs and things like that. But the main F tags are in place already, and that's what we're working with. So it's really an exciting time. For a person like me, I enjoy moving into a new process, and so this is really kind of fun for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are legal nurse consultants listening who work with attorneys to screen nursing home cases, and others of them may be functioning in an expert witness capacity. I think everyone would be interested in knowing how they could get access to the regulations that you're discussing.
Well, that would be easy because they are online, and one way to get a hold of them would be to go to my LinkedIn profile, which is under my name, Nina, N-I-N-A, LATT, as in Tom, ING is my last name. And if you just do a search there, I will have a link to the what it's called is Appendix PP, from the which is what lists the regulations that we're looking at now. Or you, or the your listeners could go to my website, and there will also be a link there. My website is insightmedicallegalconsulting.com. Insight, INSIGHT, medicallegalconsulting.com, and I would be most happy to provide any help or answer any questions for your listeners that I could.
That's wonderful, Nina. I appreciate you giving your contact information. And as you can tell from listening to Nina, she has deep understanding of the nursing home environment, the regulations. She does expert witness work and would be happy to assist our listeners in terms of sharing her knowledge. Nina, thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you, Pat, for having me. This has been great fun.
And this has been Legal Nurse Podcast, talking with Nina Latting, N-I-N-A Latting, L-A-T-T-I-N-G, who is a nursing home surveyor and has shared with us the background about some of the changes that have direct impact on legal nurse consultants' analysis of cases. Stay tuned. We will have a new interview next week, and thank you for listening and being part of our audience in Legal Nurse Podcast. If you know a legal nurse consultant who is not aware of our show, please be sure to pass on the information and tell them to tune in to Legal Nurse Podcast. And I've got a phenomenal resource for you just waiting on LegalNurseBusiness.com. My online training and books are designed to help LNCs discover ways to strengthen their skills and their businesses. Check them out at LegalNurseBusiness.com. Many of us are lifelong learners who enjoy the chance to keep expanding our knowledge, just like the Book of the Month clubs, my membership site, LNCEU.com, gives you two online trainings every month. We have a yearly payment plan that saves you over $50 compared to paying monthly, and each program is hugely discounted. Look at the options at lncu.com. And my last website, the lncacademy.com, is the coaching program I offer to a select number of LNCs. You get my personal attention and mentorship so that you can excel and build a strong foundation for your LNC practice. Get all the details at lncacademy.com.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on legalnursepodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on legalnursepodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.